Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
Would you bow with me, please, as we begin our lesson today? Our loving and kind Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for such a beautiful day on which to worship. We're thankful, Father, for on beautiful days like this, it's easy for us to remember that Your hand is apparent in our world. The beauties of the change of seasons and the beauty of fellowship and unity one with another as we come to sing and to pray and to study. We're mindful, Heavenly Father, of our meeting that is coming up soon. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we might do those things which will prepare our community and ourselves and this church to be ready for 3 good and great days. We pray, Father, for Brother McIntyre as he prepares the lessons for us here at Central. We pray that he will prepare those things from Thy Word which will be helpful to us and will be just those things which not only will encourage us but will also teach and edify and even convert those who might be visiting with us as they stand in need. Father, bless us with a good and successful effort for those 3 days. Father, we, as has already been indicated, have concern and ask Thy care for those who are sorrowing and those who are sick. Continue to bless us with togetherness, strengthen us, and build us up in the most holy faith. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It was good to see Brother Chick Brown with us today. This is the first time he's been able to be with us, and as he said, it seemed like it's been a long time, and we're glad to have him today. We want him to know that. As was announced, Monday the 22nd will begin our gospel meeting. Brother Jim Bill McIntyre is coming to town. Maybe we ought to be singing about that. That's a wonderful thing that Brother Jim Bill is going to be able to be with us. It'll start on Monday the 22nd. Tuesday the 23rd and Wednesday the 24th. Only 3 days, but they're going to be 3 great days. In fact, our advertisement for the paper that will come out this week is headlined 3 Great Days. And it's going to be 3 great days. But it'll only be 3 great days. Of course, we make it 3 great days. There'll be 3 days, just normal, mundane, everyday days. Unless they are, in fact, 3 great days in your mind. They can be, they will be, if we make them be. Brother McIntyre is well qualified to preach this series of lessons that we're going to have. He's sound, well-educated, enthusiastic, highly skilled in his ministry and in the preaching of the gospel. He preaches such efforts all over the country and has been doing so for many, 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 many years. What a joy it is to have such a man to come and be with us during those 3 great days. He will preach the truth, and he will preach it with power, and he will preach it in love. What a wonderful thing to know that that's going to be true. And you can be assured that'll be the case. His lessons will not only benefit any who might be visiting with us, but they will also be a definite benefit to us, won't they? Anytime I hear the gospel preached, it benefits me, if it's the truth. And I personally am looking forward to hearing the gospel preached by this good man. Some people today are arguing that the day of successful gospel meetings is gone. It's done. It's away. It's, you know, no longer effective. They've ended. They argue that some people just won't come. But some will come. Oh, yeah, there's always been the case that a lot of people won't. There's a lot of people that are not in the Lord's service this morning. That doesn't keep us from being here, does it? A lot of people won't come, but a lot of people will come too. If they're approached in the right way and asked properly and brought properly. Sometimes people say, well, the day of gospel meetings is gone because of disappointing visible results. They've led them to believe that it's no longer effective. But really, I'm thinking that meetings' failures are an indictment against those who have them and not the meeting concept itself. It says something about us if we have success or don't have success. It's not the principle. That's just like saying, well, marriage is no longer effective. Why? Because it fails. It doesn't have good results. Well, I'll tell you what, some don't. But it's an indictment of the people involved, not the principle. Gospel meetings are still effective to the extent that we make them effective. Public proclamation of the gospel is still a very powerful tool and always will be. The problem is our getting people here to hear the message. That is the reason, or that's the problem with a gospel meeting. That's one of the challenges we want to talk about. A gospel meeting is a great time. It's a time of great challenge to us as a congregation. And I'm convinced that many congregations have stopped having these gospel meetings because we have not met the challenge of them. There are some challenges involved. When you decide that this congregation is going to sponsor 3 great days of gospel preaching, there are some challenges involved. And I want to suggest to you at least 4 this morning. There is a challenge, first of all, of our faith in the power of the gospel. Do we believe the gospel will save men? Now I want you seriously to think about that. There are people today, I'm convinced, in the Lord's church who do not believe that the gospel has any power anymore. Do we believe that it has the power to change the lives of men and women? Does it? Can it change people's lives? Are there some people that we write off because we feel that the gospel will not do them any good? Well, there's no use inviting them. They're not going to do any good for them coming. I've heard people say that. I heard brethren say it. Well, you can't do any good with them. Might as well leave them alone. And I tell you what, that is not your decision. It's our responsibility to invite and sow the seed, not to make the judgment about who will and will not accept it. If we have that kind of attitude, it's an indication that we do not really believe the power of the gospel. If we do not believe in the Word of God, that the Word of God can change the lives of men, we might as well not have this meeting. And I'll tell you something else we might as well not have. Might as well not have any services on Sunday morning. Might as well not have any services on Sunday night. Of course, some people would like that. Or Wednesday night. But we are people who believe in the power of the gospel to change people's lives, don't we? And if that's the case, then an effort like this is essential. It's important that we have such periods of time in which we center our attention on the preaching of the power of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we do not believe that the Word of God can change our lives and change the lives of men and make us stronger, then we really don't need to have a meeting. But if we do believe that, then there's every reason to have a good one. Every reason to have the preaching of the gospel in an intensified session like we're going to have. Just 3 days. But it's going to be 3 great days because the gospel is going to be preached. The gospel, the Word of God, is powerful. Look at such passages as Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. My heavens and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It's eternal in its nature. Power there. In John 20, verse 30 and 31, many other signs did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in His name. this new covenant, this new will, this revealed will of God in the New Testament is written and is there and revealed that men might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In Romans chapter 10, and verse 17, Paul is saying a similar passage, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, receive ye the implanted Word which is able to save your souls. The Bible very plainly teaches that God's power is in the gospel. God's power is in the Word. God's power is in the truth. It will and can change people's lives. Now, it'll not change everybody's life because everybody won't accept it, will it? But it's the only power that can do it if it is done. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, Peter talks about being begotten through the truth, through the Word of God, which is living and abiding. It's a continual living, abiding, powerful Word, which is able to convert the soul. In Hebrews chapter 4, and verse 12, the writer of Hebrews says, it's like a sharp, two-edged sword that cuts down to the very marrow in the depths of a man's soul. In Acts 20 and verse 32, Paul said, I commend you unto the Word of His grace that is able to build you up and strengthen you. God's power to convert, God's power to change lives is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And brethren, there's no other power that can do what this Word can do. That's the reason we need to have preaching efforts. That's the reason that we need to have intensifying efforts. Let us never lose sight of the fact that the power is in the gospel. It's a challenge to our acceptance and our faith in God's power to save through the Word. A gospel meeting is that kind of a challenge. Remember, it's our responsibility to sow. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It's our responsibility to plant. It's our responsibility to water, but God will give the increase. People say, well, we're not converting. Are we sowing? Are we watering? That's the point. We may not have any visible responses during this meeting. I hope and pray, and I'm praying that we do. But our task and our responsibility is to bring them in that the Word of God might be planted in hearts. The kind of hearts will be dependent upon the people who are here. But the seed will be the truth, and the seed will be there. And it has the power to create new lives and bring forth new creatures in Christ Jesus. Our responsibility is to do the planting. Our responsibility is to do the watering, and God will give the increase. Let us accept the challenge to believe that the gospel is powerful enough to move men to give up a life of sin and serve God. Let us give the gospel a chance by inviting every sinner and every saint we can to hear the precious Word of God. We ought to do that every Lord's Day and every Lord's Day evening. But especially during this gospel effort, we need to give every opportunity to every person that we can possibly touch and invite and get them here, that they might have an opportunity to hear the truth taught in love. And let us come ourselves that we can be built up by the Word of His grace, because it can change your life too and transform your life into what you ought to be. Now, secondly, a gospel meeting is a challenge to every member of the church to work. When a congregation determines to have a gospel meeting, it's a challenge. It says, like the old-time slap across the face, I challenge you. It's saying, I challenge you to work to see that we have a good and successful effort. Nothing will succeed without work. It never has. And this is very true of a gospel meeting. I fear we've drifted into the idea that all we have to do to have a meeting and have a successful one is to put a few advertisements in the paper, put some local public service announcements on the radio, and put up a sign maybe out in the front yard and say, "All sinners invited, come in." And that'll get the job done. No, it won't. It never has. And the reason congregations are failing with gospel meetings is that we have left it to someone else. Every person is challenged by a gospel meeting effort to be involved personally and working to do what they can do to see that every meeting that we have is successful. Brethren, if this meeting is not worth working for, it's not worth having. It is the job of every member of this congregation, since we have determined to have a gospel meeting, for you to do what you can do to see that others are brought in to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to do a little watering by influencing in a proper way those that are brought when they're here. Let me offer some suggestions to you as to what you can do. People say, "Well, Brother Doty says to work. What am I supposed to do?" I don't want to be indicted by saying, "You just tell us we're supposed to do something, but you never tell us how to do it." Let me give you some suggestions. First of all, make a list of specific people that you are going to invite. You don't ever hit a target except the fact by accident. You have to aim. Take the time to make a list of people that you know that you want to invite. Now who? Family? Friends? Neighbors? Club acquaintances? Business acquaintances? People on the street? Make a list. Now make personal contact and invite for a specific night at least two. I mean personal visits. Let me suggest to you that then you make a phone call and invite at least five of those on the list by phone. And then send some of these cards. It costs 10 cents apiece. Let me suggest to you that you send 10. Don't take them if you don't send them. Put a 10-cent stamp on it. It'll cost you a dollar to send to 10. Write the address on it. Write a little note at the bottom. Sign it and send it to them. Write on the side. Whatever. Do that. Invite at least two clerks or business people to come. Somebody at the grocery store. Somebody at the clothing store. Somebody at the filling station. Invite at least two. Put these cards in your business, if you have a business, for people to see on your counter, on your cash register. Let them pick them up if you have a few extra. And invite them when they look at it, say, "Oh, what the heaven?" You say, "Here, take one of those and come be with us." It's time we let the business community know and the people in the community know that we're not ashamed to be Christians. We're not ashamed of the Lord's name we wear. We're not ashamed to be a member of the Central Church of Christ in downtown McMinn. Bring someone to supper one of those three nights or every night, and then to the meeting. Or take them home to supper if they won't come to the fellowship meal with you. Invite them over after the meeting. I want to tell you, do a little scheming. The Bible says in the New Testament, says the Lord sent them out to compel them to come in. I don't know exactly what all in compel means, but I do know this, it doesn't hurt to finagle a little bit, to invite folks over or provide them a meal so they'll come to hear the gospel and a good meal, the spiritual truth. Have a group of Christians over and friends after services for refreshments. Be friendly and enthusiastic and cheerful while you are here. Now that may be work for some of you. And I say that in all kindness. We're talking about work for the meeting. It may be work for you to do that, but I want you to do it, please. It'll help. Be friendly, be enthusiastic, be cheerful while you are here at the building, and watch what you say and how you say it, and create the atmosphere of enthusiasm and excitement and interest. Brethren, we need that. I'd hate for somebody to come and say, "I'll tell you what, I wouldn't go back there. That's the deadest bunch of unfriendly people I ever run across." I hope and pray that nobody ever says that about the Central Congregation. Make it your goal. And I'll tell you what, if they say it, they'll have to say it over me. And if every individual does that, they'll never say it. Be sure that you greet as many people as you can. Now, last, surely not least, pray for the meeting. Brethren, I want every prayer that's said from this pulpit between now and then, and every prayer that you pray over your table, and every prayer that you pray at night before you go to bed, and every prayer that you pray when you get up in the morning, and every prayer that you pray when you're traveling, include this gospel meeting. Include Brother McIntyre. Include Brother Stanton. Include the people who are lost in McMinnville. Include the people who are disappointed, discouraged, upset, lukewarm, indifferent at Central. And include yourself and include all of us who need to be strengthened. Now, anybody can't pray about that? Everybody can do that. Everybody can do every one of these things. They will. Now, that's some work we do. We must remember that we are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This is 3 days of the work of the Lord. We're ready to be, Paul says to Titus, be ready unto every good work, Titus 3:1. And Titus 2:14, be zealous unto every good work. Be careful to maintain good works, Titus 3:8. And Ephesians 2:8, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are not going to be saved by the work that we do, because you never earn salvation. But I'll tell you what you do by your works. You prove how much faith you got. By your fruits you shall know them. You prove how much fruit you're going to have, and how much of God's Spirit's in you, and how much concern and appreciation you have for the salvation that you enjoy. It's a challenge to the church to work. Now, thirdly, it's a challenge of interest. It's a challenge to our interest. Our meeting will show where our heart is. It'll separate the sheep from the goats, the faithful servant from the unfaithful, the workers from the slothful and lazy. It will show where our treasure is. It will show that that's where our heart is found also. Matthew 6:19. It will show our priorities. The kingdom of the Lord should be first. Matthew 6:33. We are to love God with all of our hearts. Matthew 22:37. Our interest in spiritual things must be maintained. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Keep on laboring. It's going to be a challenge to your interest. Now, I know that there'll be some people, brethren, who are so sick that they can't come on those 3 nights. Some of you may be out of town because of business. I know that there are some things that will keep us from doing what we want to do. But don't be like the old fellow I had over in Alamo, that every time we scheduled a gospel meeting, that rascal scheduled his vacation. And I know that's what he did, because we changed the dates of the meeting and the rascal changed his vacation. Now, I know where his interest was. It was not. At least I know where it wasn't. It wasn't with the meeting, was it? It wasn't with building up the church. It wasn't with the salvation of souls. It wasn't for in creating an enthusiastic, dynamic, soul-winning situation. And there'll be some people, just as surely, that'll not have much interest in this meeting. But I hope and pray it won't be very many. I hope and pray it won't be you. To be a Christian is to be interested in the lost, and to be interested in the lost is to be busy trying to save them, and especially by using opportunities during this meeting. It's a special effort to do that. There is something wrong with a person's heart. You listening? There is something wrong with a person's heart that claims to be a Christian and is not interested in a gospel effort like this. A real Christian, that is one who really belongs to the Lord, will be interested in every service, just like he is every service of the Lord's church. He'll be interested in every service so he can sing and pray and listen and study and be edified and meet visitors and bringing in friends and acquaintances and creating a friendly atmosphere and enthusiasm and seeking sinners to see them obey the gospel, backsliders return to the fold, and adding to one's own spiritual stature. He's going to be interested in those things. Now, if a Christian is not, you tell me why he's not. And I believe I can shoot holes in your argument. It's a challenge to our interest and priorities. Now, fourthly, a gospel meeting is a challenge to the devil and error. It is saying to the devil, you are in for a fight. Now, these 3 days are the Lord's days, and there's not going to be anything that's going to keep me from doing the Lord's work during these 3 days and trying to do what I can do to see that others are saved and the people are edified and the church is built up. There's not going to be anything, devil, that you're going to put in my way that's going to let it be of any effect to keep me from doing the Lord's work these 3 days. Now, you're in for a fight. You just get set because I've got the shield up and I've got the armor on and I've got the sword out and I'm going to win these 3 days. Now, let's let the devil know that he hadn't won the whole war. There's still a few that's going to fight a few battles. There's still a few of us around. There's still a few congregations that are going to say, this week, we're going to win over the devil. The gospel is going to be preached. Error and false doctrine are the tools of the devil, and they must be exposed. And they're going to be exposed during an effort like this. I'm sure that Brother McIntyre is going to be pointing out some errors in our lives and in the lives of others. Sometimes we have to tear down in order to build up. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. Matthew 12 and verse 30. On whose side will you be on October the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th? Are you going to be gathering or are you going to be scattering? Now, that's just a challenge to us. Which will it be? You say, well, I think you're putting too much emphasis on that. No, I don't think so. Just as I don't think it's too much emphasis on worshiping and serving the Lord. This is one effort that we're having to put forth every effort to try to reach out with the gospel of Christ, the power of God to save, into this community. And I plead with you that you meet the challenge of your faith in the power of the gospel. The challenge of all of us to work. The challenge of our interest and priorities. And the challenge that we're making to the devil and error. Brethren, I admonish you. I encourage you. I exhort you to do everything that you can do to think about, pray about, work to make sure that this effort will be what it ought to be because it's in the name of Christ. And that ought to make it the best it can be. What's an effort like this for? What's the gospel meeting for? It's to reach the lost with the gospel of Christ. It's to revive those of us who need to be revived. And this morning, the reason that I've talked about these challenges really are challenges to you this morning and every day. It's not just the gospel effort that the challenges, but the challenge of your faith to believe God's Word, to trust it. The challenge of your interests and priorities. The challenge of you to serve the Lord with all of your heart. The challenge to fight against evil and the devil. Those are challenges every day, aren't they? And they're the challenge that I lay down to you today. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word to save you. Work for Him. Determine from now on to serve, not serve the devil any longer, but turn to serve and work for the Lord in repentance. Confess your faith in the Lord and be baptized to begin now to march for the Master. And if you've gone astray, to renew your dedication today, the challenge is yours. I challenge you to accept the challenge of living for Christ today while we stand and while we sing.